Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good Sunday morning, everybody, and welcome on in. It is Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. Thank you for tuning in. Got a lot to get into in the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. Let's dive into it. So, last night you had Devin Haney taking on Jojo Diaz for Devin Haney's version of the WBC Championship. Huge controversy all week about, is this for the real WBC championship? I got everybody up in my YouTube comments after having George Ferocious Kambos in studio. He's not undisputed. Stop calling him that. Stop. Look, man, this is all I have to say to everybody who's getting upset with me. Know that the WBC, the WBA, the IBF, the WBO, these are all organizations that determine, they put a ranking system together, they rank individual fighters, and they determine who they want as their champion, through a series of rankings and what bouts they sanction and whatnot. I don't understand why the WBC has this weirdness with wanting to be in on everything, but they're publicity bloodsuckers. That's what they are. Anything that they can hitch their wagon to when it comes to getting attention, they're going to do it. You know, whether it's, you know, making a heritage belt for Canelo Alvarez or the money belt for Conor McGregor or a franchise belt for whomever. They came out and they said that George Ferocious Kambosos is the undisputed champion. Not fans, not media. Their organization and their president says that George Kambosos is the WBC champion. And quite frankly, I believe that he is. You know, Devin Haney was interim champion. He was just elevated to regular champion. This is not something that, like, he was this lineal WBC champion and nobody has been able to. It's not like he was Deontay Wilder and had it, like, forever and it was never taken off of him. You know, he was interim champ. They raised him to regular champ, franchise champ, got into the mix with the whole Vasily Lomachenko thing. You know, to me, this is the silliest thing anyway. Like, to argue about George Kambosos' standings right now in the division about who's the champ. Like, George Kambosos is the way I just said, he's the man. Like, he is the legitimate lightweight champion. You know, there's plenty of times where we look around at the division and we're like, that guy's not, you know, he's got, you know, we look at for example, welterweight division right now, right? Yordanis Ugas is the WBA welterweight champion. Errol Spence is WBC. He has IBF, while Terrence Crawford is WBO. And all respect to Yordanis Ugas, who I love, key to the city of Miami, great story, but he's third in line when it comes to that system of who do people want to see in the welterweight division. Well, they look upon it as a Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, two pony race. So for right now in the lightweight division, yeah, I look upon it right now as Devin Haney and George Kambosos, but George Kambosos has himself a lead, like as far as having meaningful win, as far as having the signature win and all that type of stuff. it's just a crazy thing what a storyline this was this week, where it's like you have all these people saying, who's this? Who's, you know, like George has to answer for, what do you think about the standings of one of your five belts? You know, I mean, I have it. What do you want me to do? You want me to give it back? Oh no, Devin Haney, you're like, no. So, I I'm glad that Devin Haney has such a fan base that's so popular. I like Devin Haney a lot. I feel like I've done a lot of defending of Devin Haney on this show, especially for people who have hated on him or called him boring or any of that type of stuff. But, you know, I think even Devin knows, like, you know, where he's like, oh, let's fight for the real WBC championship. No, Devin, real WBC champ. No, dude, you're fighting for all the belts. Who cares about your WBC belt? You're fighting for the mantle of the champion. You know, this idea that you're holding on to some one piece that's been bastardized by the own organization that you represent as champion is weird to me. But anyway, this is a big fight. Was very excited about it. Devin Haney, JoJo Diaz. Fight that kind of came out of nowhere a bit because it was supposed to be JoJo Diaz versus Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia fell out of this fight, so DAZN ended up making the Devin Haney fight happen, which is great. Devin Haney, I think, needed a high-profile guy in his prime to take on, even if JoJo's not exactly a natural 135er. He's game, he's tough, and I think goes in the direction of, you know, he's taken out a couple of old, he's taken out a really old guy in Gamboa, kind of an old guy in Linares, who gave him, you know, a lot to handle. And now he's taking on a guy who's a little bit more in his prime. And so I thought it was a good matchup for Devin Haney to take on in this one. It was great. You know, George Kambosos was on the call, him and his team, you know, shout out to Peter Kahn and, you know, everybody that got over there, Lou DiBella. I want to give, you know, my guy Pete a little bit more run because I feel like everybody in the mainstream is giving it to Lou. But George has been everywhere this week, man. He's done a ton of interviews. I'm very thankful that he came into a studio with us on Wednesday and gave us, you know, a half hour of his time, and him and his dad giving us a ton of time after the show too, just kind of shooting the bleep. And, you know, they went, I was able to, you know, link him up with the right people at the Heat to get him at the game on Wednesday night. It was a stinker. It was against the Cavaliers, but he was, he got to knock out Bernie. And, you know, was taking a lot of selfies with the fans. Like, it has to be cool. I know that George is like a guy that doesn't like to let all this stuff, you know, go to his head, and he wants to be in the gym and all this type. He's not trying to allow himself to soak in a lot of this, but it's got to be cool. Like, the world knows who you are now. And after a lot of hard work, you're at this point in your career. But let's get into him versus Depp. So he was on the call for this. He says he's going to, you know, his team said that they're going to go to L.A. to do the Gervonta Davis card too. But Devin, I thought Devin put on a good performance against JoJo Diaz. I didn't think it was like the most memorable fight in the world. Devin, you know, the thing with Devin that's interesting about him is, you know, they put him up to, they're really trying to put this narrative forth that he's like, you know, the next version of Floyd Mayweather, and really Pretty Boy Floyd, like that young, lightweight version of Floyd. And I think he's kind of his own thing, you know, and he's also, it's such a hard thing to live up to, that young Floyd Mayweather, because one thing with Devin is, I think Devin has shown over his last couple of fights that he wants to be in the kitchen. He does want to be exciting. He doesn't necessarily want to be that guy who's all defense. But, you know, is also in that mix of, I don't know if he has the craziest power or, it, you know, has that ability to really put the kill shots on his opponents yet. I don't know if it was a thing with JoJo where he was trying to be a little bit more cautious too, because we definitely saw a conscious effort for him against Linares where he was trying to be super aggressive. And it ended up biting him in the butt. And he had to hold on for a couple rounds, and people gave him hell about that. And that's the thing that sucks with Haney, is like everybody is criticizing every little thing that he does. Oh, he puts on a fun performance. Well, he was holding on for two rounds. Oh, he doesn't go for broke. Boring fight against Gamboa. I would say this is probably as solid as it would get, you know, he's got to know that, like, he is most likely going to take on George Kambosos. If I had to handicap it, I would say that's the most likely fight, you know, based on network appeal, George doing so much with DAZN. I don't find it likely that Kambosos is going to fight Gervonta Davis. We don't know what's going to happen tonight. If something, you know, we'll recap it after that fight happens on Sunday night. It's a little weird that Gervonta's fighting on a Sunday night, but okay. I would say probably the thinking behind that is they wanted to stay away from the college football championships. So you kind of just put it on a rando NFL week. Fair enough. But I don't think that George and Gervonta is likely to happen for a couple reasons. One, I think that they are pretty strict that they want to stay in the PBC realm. That's not really a Kambosos problem. He's a free agent. But I think the thing that really kills it is George really wants the next fight to be in Australia. And I got a hard time believing that Gervonta Davis is going to go to Australia. I think Gervonta Davis has shown himself to be at least a live gate draw. I don't know if he's, you necessarily want to call him a pay-per-view star yet, or a bona fide pay-per-view star yet, but he is, he definitely sells tickets. And I don't know if he's going to be like, yeah, do we want to go across the world to do it? I have my doubts about that. I think that they kind of just want to roll with what they're doing right now, this gravy train that they got with Gervonta Davis. So I think that's out. Lomachenko obviously fights next week. Is that a possibility? You know, certainly, you know, it certainly is, but I think that, you know, Vasily, if I were George, I would be the guy that I would actually want to unify. I think the thing that makes this different is you had all these guys here at 135 that we all were crazy about wanting to fight each other, but none of them really did. Now, you do credit Teofimo. Like, Teofimo did fight George. He was mandatory. Could have dropped the belt. He didn't. And he ended up giving a contender a shot and, you know, lost his championship. So it's not like Teofimo went out there and fought some old dude, just a name, you know. But I think for George, he should take the opportunity to be that guy. Like, if Devin Haney says, like he says, that he's going to leave 135, Teofimo's going to leave 135. I'd imagine Ryan Garcia is going to leave 135 at some point because they're all very, very young. George, he's probably in the weight class that's, you know, we talked about this within our interview. He says, like, the best he thinks he could probably go, or the highest he could go be a champion, is probably welterweight, and that's pushing it. I think he's probably at that optimal weight for himself. So the Devin matchup is going to be interesting because Devin's got that reach. Devin has that, Devin's got a way about him that's not very emotional. We saw a little bit of aggression that came forth in the fight against Jorge Linares. But for the most part, Haney and his father, Bill, they keep a pretty calculated plan of how they go about. Like, for all the emotion that the Lopez's go into this, the Haneys are almost the opposite. Like, you see them, they're praying beforehand. They're, like, you know, finding their zone going into it. It's all very calculated. They're all looking for something. It's just a different vibe. So I do think it's a different beast that George is taking on. But I do agree with him. I do think that Haney, over his last few fights, has shown holes, and that's the thing that's also tough when you're being compared to Mayweather. It's like, well, Mayweather had no holes. Mayweather never got hit. We saw JoJo. JoJo was able to get some shots. Doesn't quite have the thump that I think George does. And I think the thing that George showed was this unbelievable hand speed and quickness and angles and great exchanges that he's able to go out there. I think he's certainly going in there against a guy who doesn't hit as hard as Teofimo Lopez does. So there may not be that danger element. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting fight. It's an intriguing fight. But that's for me, sitting here before Gervonta fights and thinking that fight's probably unlikely anyway, that's the fight that I would I do want to see next, is him and Devin Haney. They've been talking back and forth. They've both shown a mutual interest. They were on DAZN. It feels like it's been promoted well already. And I'm curious to see what it's like when they actually get into a fight promotion. You know, George, I think, handled a lot of this with class. He was letting David Haney have his night. And I think that'd be a really, really fun matchup between the both of them. Speaking of Lopez, there was an interesting story that came out today from ESPN that talked about that he was dealing with something in his esophagus that had put him in a put his life at risk at one point. Mark Kriegel did this story talking to a doctor, and the doctor basically said that he's lucky that he's not dead. Dr. Linda Dahl, who does surgery at Manhattan Hospital, told him that he could have died for sure. How he breathed, I can't even explain to you. It's like somebody tied a 300-pound set of weights to his chest, like his neck and chest were in a vice. That's how he fought. Another guy, Dr. Peter Constantino, who's the executive director of the New York Head and Neck Institute, says he's lucky he's not dead. I mean, really lucky. So you're speaking with multiple, the air surrounding his chest wall and heart were in a place where air is not supposed to be. If he got hit in the neck and chest a certain way, he could have had a collapsed lung. He would have instantly needing a chest tube. So it would have, it's pretty crazy. Lopez was telling ESPN that he thought it was an asthma attack, that he was having issues after rehydrating from the weight cut, but that nobody was able to really tell until he had the x-rays or the CAT scans. So it was a pretty crazy thing to read with Teofimo Lopez. Now, I will say, like, he did say, I wasn't myself in the ring, but didn't really take any credit away from Kambosos. I mean, not like he did in the fight night where he said that he had won 10 rounds to 2. Wasn't really mentioned. I didn't hear much of it mentioned on the broadcast today. It was, I think the thing that's actually even crazier about this is just all the bad stuff that it felt like Teofimo was going through. You know, he talked about money issues, mental issues, relationship issues with his ex-wife leaving him, not being able to see his son, who's very, very young. And, you know, that's a bummer to read from Teofimo. You know, Teofimo had this year where he thought he was going to make this crazy amount of money from Triller, never ended up happening. He, of course, ended up getting COVID-19. And they think actually that a lot of this actually had to do with the fact that he had COVID-19. He is an asthma sufferer and that there was some trickle down effect of it. So all this idea of a, you know, pro athlete, you know, can't get messed up by this stuff. You know, there you have it. One of the champions of the world, former champion of the world, was suffering some serious repercussions. Now, from the boxing perspective, couldn't breathe. Like, look, he was in the 10th round and he still knocked down Kambosos. So I don't know, you know, if that's the case. Like, I don't know how much it was affecting him or how bad it was. They're saying that he's lucky, you know, something bad, really bad could have happened. But he seemed like he was okay late into that fight. So I don't think this is going to do too much to take away anything from the win of George. But it's just more so I read that, I'm like, man, feels like Teofimo's got a lot of bad stuff that's going on right now, physically, emotionally, financially. And you just hope that everything kind of gets okay with him. We'll take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, we get to a little UFC 269 coming up next week. Back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin's Fight Show here with you on 790 The Ticket. As we will continue on here, get into a little bit of UFC 269, which is coming up next week. Dustin Poirier, Charles Oliveira, they will be fighting for the lightweight title. Dustin Poirier, he will get a crack at the lightweight title for a second time, a chance at redemption ever since losing to Khabib Nurmagomedov a few fights ago. And Charles Oliveira, of course, coming off the title win where he beat Michael Chandler, you know, had a little bit of a rocky first round, but was able to weather the storm and put away Michael Chandler early in round two. And he's looked absolutely fantastic. Nobody has been able to really stop this guy for a while. We're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 straight wins for DuBronx. He has looked absolutely amazing, especially since he has been at lightweight. And as for Dustin Poirier, more of the same from him. He has come off the big paydays with Conor McGregor. He has beaten him in the rematch. He beat him in the trilogy where Conor McGregor's leg snapped, but was winning that fight early on beforehand there as well. And has looked great since bouncing back from that title loss to Khabib Nurmagomedov. This is a fun fight, man. This is two guys who really don't have a huge weakness. I think that if you were to level them off, like you would say, like Charles Oliveira, better in the ground game, better in the submission game. Dustin Poirier, better in the striking game. But they're both strong in both areas. This is not like two guys who have big flaws on the ground. These are not two guys who have flaws in striking. They're both just really, really solid all the way around. They're two of the best fighters in this division. I think they probably are the two best fighters in this division right now, quite frankly. You know, maybe Islam Makhachev is getting there, and maybe, you know, he will be there very, very soon. I'm not denying that. But for right now, I think you definitely have the two best guys. For me, like, the only thing that's interesting, the thing that's great about this is, you know, I was worried that we weren't ever going to see this matchup for some reason. You know, it was maybe looking like Michael Chandler, especially in that first round, maybe he was going to take out Charles Oliveira. And Dustin Poirier, you know, you go in there with a guy like Conor McGregor, always dangerous. And I would have been more hurt for Dustin, because Dustin, from my mind, has been the uncrowned champ now for a little bit. You know, this is a guy where he should have gone in there against, after his win against Dan Hooker, and should have gotten a title shot immediately. And they basically made him choose between Big Payday or title shot, and he chose Big Payday. Probably a smart move by him. Went in there, beat Conor McGregor, and then same situation, then beat him again. So now he's getting the opportunity to just go straight and focus on becoming the best in the world and having that big legacy fight. The other interesting thing is this may be his last, you know, hurrah at 155 pounds. You know, there's been a lot of talk in this camp about him being tired of cutting weight, maybe going to 170 pounds. And there's a lot of fun matchups there as well. You also have like this next little wave, especially the match between Benil Dariush and Islam Makhachev, which we may be getting soon. And, you know, will there be kind of a change in the guard there with this division that's been so heavily contested for years among some of the best guys that they've had, especially, and Poirier really has been the guy in all of that. You know, Justin Gaethje, I'm sure, has something to say about it. You know, he wants that Dustin Poirier matchup very, very badly. You know, but there's a something down the line, if Poirier is able to win this and then say, hey, you know, I want to go in there, I want to fight a guy in Kamaru Usman, maybe that's a route they go. Is this stuff going to affect Dustin Poirier? I highly doubt it. This dude is rock solid as far as mental fortitude and all that type of stuff. I guess the question for him is, you know, can he, you know, for him, he's always got to watch out for those tough starts. Usually is a guy where you kind of got to wake him up in the fight a little bit, you know, bring the fight to him and make sure that, you know, just kind of ring his bell a little bit. We've seen in his last three fights, really two out of his last three fights, that, you know, his opponent in Conor and Dan have really gotten off on him early, and then he cranks up the pressure as the fight goes on. With Charles Oliveira is going in there, and he is, you know, he's been in there where he's been, and a guy like Michael Chandler weathered the storm early, was able to come on late. Tony Ferguson pretty much dominated throughout. You know, in a lot of those fights, he's been, you know, just really just finds a way to work his way in and put on some of these nasty chokes, these nasty submissions that he's able to go get, catch a guy sleeping. For me, I just think that Dustin Poirier is a little bit more experienced in just all facets of being on big level fights. Though Charles Oliveira has been in there and has been on a fantastic win streak, you know, if you really look at the guys that he's beaten and you look back at his resume, you're like, yeah, it's a great run. It's kind of like if we're looking at the, you know, the college football playoff that's going on right now, like if a team that has a tremendous record but maybe doesn't have the strongest strength of schedule, that's Charles Oliveira. I mean, like, Dustin Poirier has been fighting in the SEC. Like, he is fighting nothing but former champions and top contenders every single time that he goes in there, and really has been probably since he's lost to Michael Johnson, like going all the way back to then. He's been fighting the best of the best at their highest level and usually getting the best of it if his name wasn't Khabib Nurmagomedov. So in a lot of ways, I think this is a big step up in competition for Charles Oliveira. I think he's really going in there in some deeper waters. I think that he's taking on a guy who has been really one of the best in this division now for going on a half decade. And I think that just because he has a longer win streak doesn't necessarily mean that he has had the better run than Dustin Poirier. You know, I think if Charles Oliveira was in there with Khabib Nurmagomedov, he'd probably have his hands full that night too. So I think that for Oliveira, he's going to be in for a world of surprise where Dustin doesn't fade away, maybe like a Michael Chandler does, doesn't leave those openings where a Michael Chandler may, or Tony Ferguson, who looked a little bit weathered by the time that they had fought. Don't forget, when he had fought Tony Ferguson was coming off of that awful performance against Justin Gaethje, and, you know, really, in a lot of ways, just looked like a shell of himself. I don't know what the hell happened to Tony Ferguson. I don't know what happened to El Kakoui, the guy who everybody was afraid to face in the division, but that's not the same guy that Charles Oliveira had taken on. Again, I don't want to take too much away from DuBronx. Dude's awesome. I'm a big fan, and I'm very, very excited about this fight. And I think he definitely has ways to win this fight. But I do worry that he's going into a lion's den right now where he may not necessarily realize the step up. Now, look, he's been in there with some tough guys, especially back at featherweight, where, you know, he was taking on, you know, Max Holloway and, you know, some catchweight fights with, you know, Ricardo Lamas, where he was missing weight, and Anthony Pettis. So he's been in there with the creme de la creme on some really, really good guys too. Not taking that away from him. He's definitely been in there with the best of the best. He's lost to some of the best, Frankie Edgar, Cub Swanson too. But this is way back early in his career. The guy's been in the UFC for freaking ever. So, you know, it's kind of like when you would you take a Max Holloway fight back when he was 19? Probably not. It's a much different guy. For Dustin, though, Dustin's just more recently been in there with the top of the top. You know, you look at something like the Max Holloway fight where he beat Charles Oliveira. If you want to do some MMA math there, Max beat him back in the day at featherweight. Dustin had beaten Max pretty recently, a couple years ago, to win the interim lightweight title. So I think that Dustin's going to get him. I think Dustin's going to finish him like around three. And will retain his lightweight title. As far as the rest of the card concerned, Amanda Nunes, Juliana Pena, like, this is a little bit more the same. Like, Juliana Pena, I love the personality that she brings. I love the fire that she brings. This was, like, one of the big prospects who was bursting onto the stage a long time ago. You know, back to her days of Ultimate Fire when she suffered the nasty knee injury, and then she ended up becoming a mom. So, didn't necessarily have the path that we thought that she would. And for Amanda's the GOAT. Like, I'm not going to be the guy who's out here picking Amanda Nunes to lose. I just, you know, you're going to have to be the one who dazzles me. Like, if Juliana Pena comes out of here and we're talking on this show next week and she is the bantamweight champion of the world, I'll humbly hold my hand and say, I never thought that she had a chance in hell of winning this fight. I'm fine with being that. For me right now, Amanda Nunes, she is the best woman on the planet fighting. A little bit of a weird thing going on with this card as we had. You know, this was a really stacked card. You had Jorge Masvidal versus Leon Edwards. That's no longer on the card because Jorge got hurt. We covered that story a couple of weeks ago. So that's a bit of a bummer. Then Jeff Neal versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. Jeff Neal got arrested this week. So don't really know what his situation is going to be for this fight as far as if he's going to be fighting if he is going to be fighting on this. He is apparently still scheduled to fight, even with the DWI charge and unlawfully carrying a weapon. He is out on bond, so seems like he is is going to be on. The UFC put out a statement that says UFC is aware of the recent situation involving Jeff Neal. Organization has been in communication with him, and there's a process of gathering more details. His bout is still scheduled, so him versus Ponzinibbio, that's a good fight. Kai Kara-France versus Cody Garbrandt is an interesting one too. And Ruslan Paiva versus Sean O'Malley, the Sugar Show, always interesting, always fun. So it's not as deep as it was for sure. UFC 269, I think losing the Leon Edwards versus Jorge Masvidal one's a big one, not only because of the grudge match factor, the star factor, having American Top Team's three biggest stars on the card, you know, but also that was a big fight into that if Leon was going to win, probably would have cinched up the welterweight title. Now we might have a situation where if Dustin Poirier wins the lightweight title, maybe that'll cinch up the Kamaru Usman next opponent. You know, he's looking for that super opponent, that big time draw. I think Dustin's it. I think, like, if you're going to talk about who's the guy right now that really could draw for Kamaru Usman, I think a champion versus champion match could do that. Charles, I don't think the size is quite there. I don't think he's itching for it like that. Dustin is clearly showing signs that he is no longer interested in fighting in the welterweight division. And then there's other fun stuff, maybe a Colby Covington grudge match with Dustin, who knows. But that's definitely an interesting storyline that's developed out of all of this. We'll take a quick break, be back with more after this. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket as we take you up till 10 o'clock. Pretty wild UFC last night. Jose Aldo defeated Rob Font. Jose Aldo, bro. This dude is at 35. It's funny that he's so much more appreciated, I think, now in his age than he was when he was even reigning champ. You know, like, I think everybody just digs the way he fights. Not as much with the leg kicks as he used to be, but sick boxing, great hands. And really put it on Rob Font. Basically, since like round one with like 15 seconds left, dropped him with a 1-2. And it was pretty much Jose Aldo's fight from there on. They both had gnarly eyes. It looked like Jose Aldo at one point, his was closing up. Maybe the doctor was going to step in and stop it. Then he put down Rob Font again. Maybe Rob Font was going to get stopped. There were a couple of times where it looked like Jose Aldo, maybe if he would have gone the route of waiting for Rob Font to get up and put more strikes on him, that he could have finished the fight. He instead was trying to go for submissions. Nearly got it, especially at the end of the fifth round where Rob Font got off to a gangbuster start but still ended up getting dropped again. And that was kind of the story of the fight. Like, Rob Font would get off to these six starts of the round, but Jose just always had an answer for him. Always had an answer for him. So it was a great, great performance from the King of Rio. Rafael Fiziev, he had a win over Brad Riddell with a nasty spinning back kick KO in the third round. Some wild finishes in this one. Jamal Hill, he defeated Jimmy Crute with he caught him with a right hand coming in, put his lights out immediately. Clay Guida, he had a rear naked choke in the second round. And then ended up getting a UFC ring from his mother who made it for him, which is real sick. And then Chris Curtis, got to give it up to him for beating Brendan Allen. This guy's got a couple of wins now in 2 months where he's beaten Brendan Allen and he's beaten Phil Hawes as a 34-year-old journeyman who's now got six wins on the year, but two of them against two guys in the UFC that I think super highly of and has just wiped the floor with them, you know, put them out. And that's got that, you know, that's the type of thing that you just find absolutely sick in the fight game, that a dude can have those types of moments that really, really change a moment, change his life, change how he feels and all that type of stuff. So really, really cool to see that from Curtis. Some other news and notes: Gennady Golovkin, his fight with Ryoto Murata will be postponed because of COVID restrictions in Japan. That fight was supposed to happen on December 29th. It will not. And that's a huge bummer to see. We will not see Triple G back in action for right now. And that's never great to see. Never great to see. But what you gonna do? Floyd Mayweather, this was interesting this week. He was doing some press for the Gervonta Davis fight, obviously promotes the guy, and says that he thought that Canelo Alvarez was ducking David Benavidez, which I found an interesting one. I wonder if this was, you know, this is a thing with Canelo where, you know, he's doing this move up to fight on Makabu, who, you know, I talked about this, like, I'm not that into Canelo going up to cruiserweight just to go up to cruiserweight. Like, it doesn't mean anything to me as a guy who follows the sport. I don't know if, like, the most ardent Canelo fan is just like, yes, gotta have him go up and get a cruiserweight title, means so much. It only, like, the only way it means anything to me, honestly, is if this ends with him fighting Alexander Usyk either at cruiserweight or if he's going to go up and fight Alexander Usyk at heavyweight. you know, like it's Canelo. But like it's pretty crazy. Like I was BSing about that on the show, and I was like looking at photos next to him, next to like Andrew Ruiz. And Andrew Ruiz isn't even the biggest heavyweight. And it's kind of a crazy thing to even think about. But yeah, he brought up this week, and he says and Floyd said that Canelo's going to cruiserweight, and he's fighting a guy that's not really, he's up and down. And what I mean is that if it was up to me, I want to see Benavidez. Canelo is a hell of a fighter, but my personal opinion, he's ducking Benavidez. That's just my opinion. He's going up to cruiserweight, and I'm not knocking him, but it's the same guy, cruiserweight, who used to be at the Mayweather boxing gym. And guys are really getting the best of him at the Mayweather boxing gym. So if he's going up to cruiserweight, Benavidez can go up and beat the same guy. And yeah, for Floyd's sake, like I think that for me, I agree. Like I'd rather see him fight a David Benavidez, a Jamal Charlo, a Demetrius Andrade. You know, hell, I'd rather see him fight Andre Ward. Andre Ward come out of retirement. You know, when I talked to Andre Ward a couple of weeks ago, you know, he still seems like he wants to stay retired. But like, listen, I said this to Leroy, like he's younger than Gennady Golovkin. Everybody wants to see this third Gennady Golovkin fight. Andre Ward's younger than Triple G, even though that he hasn't been active for 4 years. Triple G has been active for like what, two? So, you know, I'm with Floyd on this one. Like I'm not into this idea of Canelo going up and fighting Makabu and taking on that that challenge. It's just whatever, you know, like they'll make a big deal out of it, and whoever ends up promoting that fight will do the great job and the great spin job of, you know, this is you know, maybe a more dangerous version of what Pacquiao tried to do. But you know, for me, it's just whatever. I don't find it to be something that, it's not that I don't find it to be impressive, it's just not a feat that I put a lot of stock in. Like I'm not like, man, Canelo, he's really solidified himself. I mean, like Canelo has solidified in himself. What I want are the most entertaining fights. And really, this is the big thing with this too. As a consumer of his fights, I want the biggest bang for my buck. And I don't really want to be against some cruiserweight that none of us heard of 3 weeks ago, you know? And I'd rather be against either middleweights or super middleweights. And, you know, people will say, well, he's done everything there is to do. Not really. He's won all the belts there are to win, but there's also the idea that he is a prize fighter, and you know, you want to, whoever invests all this money into you wants to get the most bang for their buck as far as investing in you, and the fans want to invest their money in a fight that they want to see. And I don't think that has anything to do with Canelo going up to cruiserweight. I really, really don't. I think it has more so to do with the fact of finding compelling matchups that we'll be really, really interested in watching. So there's that. By the way, shout out to Sergio Pettis. Sick knockout over Kyoji Horiguchi this week to retain the Bellator Bantamweight Championship. Spinning back fist KO to beat him. It was gnarly, man. That was a vicious thing. And man, what a story Sergio Pettis is. Talk to Emmanuel Sanchez this week. Just the work that this kid has put in. You think about him from like back where he was UFC prospect. And we're talking like, hell, 8 years ago, something like that. And you know, he's like taking on Bruce Leroy back in the day. And you know, the move that he's done over to Bellator, this run that he's had in Bellator, has just been so tremendous. He's undefeated with them, and he's become their champion, and now he's won the cross promotional championship. It's just been it's been a really cool rise. I got to imagine, though, like the idea that would he head on back there? Now, they've announced that they're doing this big Bellator Grand Prix, so maybe it won't be anytime soon. But even still, with him as this, with him over here, you know, Bantamweight's pretty on fire right now. He is, you know, got the name recognition because he is a Pettis brother. So there's going to be something. But, you know, listen, a lot of people talk about the treatment that they're getting over at Bellator, that they like it. You know, we hear this from Corey Anderson. Corey Anderson's liking the treatment over at Bellator a little bit more. And, you know, there's been so much things with the UFC. It's been interesting watching. This past weekend was a fire card. I mean, it was really, really great. But I've been talking about this. It's been very noticeable, I think, to every fan that these fight night cards, like, they're doing it really bare bones as far as name recognition. because they just got to get the cards in, and then they're really loading up the pay-per-views. It's been very noticeable as a fan this year. So I don't know. If you are in Bellator and you are having success there and you see some of the names that they got there, do they roll with that and think that's the better way to go? I don't know. But for me, it's an interesting one for sure. On the back end of this, listen, got an announcement that's going to come up. You guys will hear this week as far as fight content for the show. So it'll have an impact on the future of the show, which I will get into later this week. I can't make an official announcement up until tomorrow, but which would mean Monday, I think, is when we're officially, maybe it might be Monday or Tuesday coming up this week. But if you're a fight fan and you like the fight content of the show, we got some exciting stuff that's coming up here. We also got some more exciting coverage, some exciting interviews that are coming this way. I also recommend, by the way, if you haven't checked it out yet, we did a half hour with George Kambos this week in studio, talked about, really went in depth on the fight. I think a lot of people have been, you know, talking about, you know, what's this like, all this is, you know, we got a background with George as far as, you know, all the interviews that we've done with him, and to see him reach these tops, it was cool getting to do the, you know, the whole wrap up of it all. And was really, really cool. Love getting a chance to speak with his father, who's got stories for days. I got to get him on the show in the near future and do a sit down, because his stories are pretty, pretty incredible. But as far as this program's concerned, I'll have an announcement about that and some other stuff regarding our combat sports coverage that's coming up this week, Monday, Tuesday at the latest. So stay tuned for that. I don't know if I'll, I don't figure out how I'm going to announce it yet, social media wise, or if it'll be on video or podcast version, but you guys will know. So for everybody who consumed this show, supported this show, you know, we continue to appreciate you doing that. And we got some more stuff coming your way. So that's our show for this week, everybody. And we'll talk to you next time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.